Thank you and good afternoon, everyone. The Kaiser Family Foundation is pleased to co-sponsor today's webinar with our state navigator partners from Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. I'm Karen Pollitz, Senior Fellow with the Kaiser Family Foundation, and I'm joined today by Sarah Sessoms, the Executive Director of Insure Georgia, Jennifer Simmons, the Navigator Project Director at the North Carolina Navigator Consortium, and Shelley Cuenga, Director of Programs at South Carolina's Palmetto Project. Before we start, I would just like to remind the audience that our web briefing today will be recorded. The archived recording and the slides will be posted online, and everyone who RSVP'd will get a notification when they're posted. I also want to remind the audience that we are in a listen-only format today. You can chat, use the chat feature to type in questions for the speakers at any time during the web briefing, and then we'll answer them during the Q&A in the second half. I would ask that your questions please specify what state you're asking about, since we're talking about three different states today. So with that bit of housekeeping, let's move ahead into the presentation. The Affordable Care Act's fifth open enrollment is just over a week away, but in some respects, consumers may face more uncertainty, confusion, and misinformation than was the case just before the first open enrollment back in 2013. It has been a year of many events and changes leading up to today. Of course, we had months-long debate over repeal of the Affordable Care Act that ended with no legislation being enacted, and then a series of changes were adopted by the administration. The 2018 open enrollment period was shortened to 6 weeks. Resources for outreach and consumer assistance were reduced, a 90% reduction in funding for advertising, and a more than 40% reduction in federal navigator grants, although that varied by state and program. We'll get back to that a little bit later. And then about a week and a half ago, the president announced that cost-sharing reduction payments to insurers would be terminated immediately. There is a bipartisan effort underway in the Senate to restore those payments and the outreach and marketing funding, although it's not clear what the prospects for that legislation may be. Following all of this, our tracking polls at Kaiser Family Foundation find evidence of confusion and uncertainty among consumers. In particular, after the lengthy debate over repeal of the Affordable Care Act, nearly 30% of the general public and 40% of the uninsured think the individual mandate has been repealed or are unsure whether it remains in effect. So the first thing that consumers need to know about open enrollment is that the ACA is still here. There is still a requirement to have health coverage or pay a tax penalty. The penalty for 2018 is the same as for 2017. That is, it's the greater of $695 per adult or 2.5% of household income above the federal income tax filing threshold. To satisfy the mandate, people can sign up for health coverage that's offered to them at work, or they can apply for public programs like Medicaid or CHIP. In our three webinar states today, an estimated 370,000 uninsured residents are eligible for Medicaid or CHIP, but not enrolled. And then people who don't have access to job-based coverage or public programs can buy individual health insurance on their own. Subsidies are available through the marketplace for people with income between the federal poverty level and four times the federal poverty level. But non-group coverage can only be purchased during open enrollment for 2018, unless you qualify for a special enrollment period. Our Kaiser Family Foundation tracking poll also found that most people don't know when this coming open enrollment starts and ends. Even among people already covered in the marketplace, 60% are unaware that the next open enrollment begins on November 1st. And among the uninsured, 85% don't know the opening date. And then 75% of marketplace enrollees and 95% of the uninsured are unaware that open enrollment 5 ends this year on December 15th in most states. Consumers need to know these dates. All previous open enrollments have extended at least through the end of January, but this year in the healthcare.gov states, open enrollment is shorter, just 6 weeks. It will start November 1st and end December 15th of 2017. After that date, people won't be able to buy an individual policy for 2018 unless they qualify for a special enrollment period. This year, as in the past, people who are already enrolled in Marketplace coverage and who don't act by 11:59 p.m. on December 15th to renew or change their coverage will likely be automatically renewed in their current coverage by the Marketplace for another year. If their current plan is no longer being offered in 2018 and people don't act, the Marketplace will likely automatically assign them to a different plan. Auto renewal has been a standard practice for 2 years now. During the last open enrollment, almost a quarter of Marketplace signups were accomplished by auto renewal. The advice has always been and still is to actively shop. Don't just rely on auto renewal. This year, that's especially good advice. In the past, people could see the results of auto renewal in January and then still had a month to change if they wanted to. This year, if you don't act by the 15th, and you're auto-renewed, open enrollment will end, and that will be your plan for another year. If the insurer that you have now is leaving the Marketplace, you may be eligible for a special enrollment period and have a longer time to change your coverage. As we'll discuss in a minute, in some states, 2017 Marketplace insurers are leaving in 2018, and significant changes are taking place everywhere in Marketplace premiums, unlike what we've seen in the past. So it really is important for consumers to log into healthcare.gov, see their new plan choices and what they cost, and make the choice that makes the most sense for them. In North Carolina and South Carolina, the same issuers will be offering plans in 2018 who offered in 2017. That's the Blue Cross Blue Shield plans in both of those states, and then Cigna also offers coverage in some areas in North Carolina. In Georgia, there will be changes. Humana is leaving the Marketplace entirely. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia is leaving 74 counties, including the metro Atlanta area, but it will continue to offer coverage in 85 counties in Georgia, mostly rural counties in the state. Ambetter is expanding its service area, and Alliance Health Plan and Kaiser Permanente will serve the same counties next year that they did in 2017. And I should probably mention here, the Kaiser Family Foundation is not affiliated in any way with Kaiser Permanente Health Plan. We just have similar sounding names. Now, our tracking poll also finds that Marketplace consumers are very worried about affordability. A majority are concerned that they won't be able to continue to afford coverage next year due to rising deductibles and rising premiums. So another thing that consumers need to know is that the Affordable Care Act subsidies are still available. In particular, cost-sharing subsidies that reduce deductibles and copays under the ACA Marketplace plans are still here. I've heard a number of news reports incorrectly describing that these subsidies are terminating. They are not. The cost-sharing reductions for Marketplace enrollees are available for people with income between the poverty level and 2.5 times the poverty level. The vast majority of Marketplace enrollees in our three webinar states today, about 7 in 10, are eligible for these subsidies. They are delivered only through Silver plans. If you want to jump ahead to the next slide, people buy a normal Silver plan, but depending on their income, what they are delivered is a more generous modified plan, closer to a Gold or a Silver or a Platinum plan. Each month, as people make claims that hit that lowered deductible, the insurer submits a bill to the federal government for that cost-sharing reduction and gets reimbursed. It's that reimbursement that President Trump announced he would end for insurers, and that's something that he threatened to do all year. Anticipating this, most insurers raised their premiums for 2018 to offset that lost reimbursement. And there are two important takeaways for consumers. One is that the subsidies are still there. Insurers will still give you a Silver plan with lower deductibles and copays if you qualify. And second, while insurers are increasing premiums to offset this lost reimbursement from the federal government, consumers will mostly be held harmless. Now, depending on what state insurance regulators allowed, insurance companies took different approaches to raising their 2018 premiums in order to make up for this lost reimbursement. And I want to emphasize that the final 2018 rates, for the most part, have not yet been made public. Mostly, though, we understand that insurers raised their premiums in 2018 just for their silver plans, the metal tier where the CSR subsidies are delivered, to offset that lost payment. And we have estimated that insurers would need to raise their silver premium, silver plan premiums by about 20% to make up for this lost payment. Some insurers just applied the CSR rate increases to silver plans on the marketplace, not off the marketplace. That's what the marketplace insurer in South Carolina did. In a few states, insurers were required to spread the CSR cost increase across the board to all plans, and a few states didn't allow any special rate increases. So we don't have information yet on how insurers in Georgia and North Carolina price their policies. In general, though, if all marketplace insurers apply this CSR rate surcharge just to their silver plans, premiums for those plans will go up by much more than premiums for bronze and gold plans. And the dollar value of premium tax credits will increase dollar for dollar because that is tied to the cost of the benchmark silver plan in the marketplace. But premium tax credits can be applied to any metal tier plan in the marketplace. So consumers who are eligible for both tax credits and cost-sharing subsidies should be able to buy a silver plan in 2018 and not feel this cost increase. Consumers with somewhat higher level income who qualify for premium tax credits but not the cost-sharing subsidies will also be protected from the increase if they stay at the silver plan tier, but may also find that gold and bronze level plans are even more affordable next year than they were in 2017. And then consumers who aren't eligible for subsidies at all will have options to avoid this special CSR premium rate increase by buying off the marketplace or by buying at a different metal level. By contrast, where this rate increase is applied across the board, subsidy-eligible individuals will still be protected by the tax credit, but people off the marketplace who aren't eligible for subsidies would have to pay this higher premium increase, similar to what happened in 2017. That was a lot, so let me just show you an example from South Carolina. South Carolina Blue Cross Blue Shield has made its 2018 rates public. This is an example showing rates this year and next year for a 30-year-old with income at two times the poverty level, just over $24,000 next year. In South Carolina, the unsubsidized benchmark silver plan in Charleston is going up by more than 30% next year. The value or more than $100 a month for a 30-year-old. But the value of the premium tax credit is going up as well by $122 a month. As a result, people who are eligible for the tax credit subsidies can stay at the silver level and get the same level of coverage next year at the same out-of-pocket cost. People ineligible for subsidies off the marketplace will see rate increases, but not the full 30% that applied to the benchmark silver plan in the marketplace. So it's important for consumers to know, wherever you are in any of these states, that the premium changes that are happening in 2018 are unlike what we've seen before because they will be distributed so unevenly across the plans. So it's especially important for consumers not to be discouraged by headlines about premium increases. Instead, on November 1st, look to see what plans are available and what they would actually cost you. Now, also new for Open Enrollment 5, consumers should be aware that some new eligibility and enrollment rules will take effect. The first is a rule that I've called failure to reconcile. Applies to consumers who've been in the marketplace for a while. For consumers who received tax credits in 2016, they were required to file their 2016 federal income tax return this year in 2017. And they had to have filed with that return Form 8962, the form the IRS requires you to use to reconcile the premium tax credit that you received with the amount you were actually eligible for. If they didn't do that, they won't be eligible for premium tax credits in 2018 when they go to sign up this open enrollment. So people will find this out when they apply for their coverage and subsidies. The eligibility determination will just say you're not eligible for tax credits. The trick is it won't say why exactly. Instead, the notice will give you a list of possible reasons why you're not eligible and you'll have to figure out that it was failure to reconcile. If that's the case, consumers can fix that by filing an amended 2016 return with Form 8962, then log back onto healthcare.gov into your account, indicate this change, and that should turn your subsidy back on for 2018. The other new rule implemented by the administration this year allows insurers to refuse to effectuate your 2018 coverage, to make it take effect, if you owe past due premiums from 2017. This new rule took effect in June 19th of this year, so it may not affect that many people this fall. It only applies to missed premiums on or after that date, and the consumer had to have been notified in 2017 that the insurer was going to adopt this new practice. Not all insurers have for 2018, and states also can prohibit it. This fall, it likely will only affect people who signed up late in the year during a special enrollment period and then after that missed a payment. But looking ahead, consumers do need to know that missing premiums in 2018 might limit your ability to continue coverage with that insurer in the future. Given all these changes, the last thing I want to mention that consumers need to know is how important it is to start early. Every open enrollment so far, there's been a surge of activity in the final weeks and days before the deadline. And during surge times, healthcare.gov tends to run more slowly. The screens can freeze. If you call the call center, the waits on hold can be lengthy. In the past, HHS allowed what they called an in-line extension for people who started their application before midnight on the deadline of open enrollment but hadn't yet completed enrollment. It's not clear if that will be allowed again this year. Meanwhile, though, HHS has announced that they will schedule maintenance periods during open enrollment when healthcare.gov will be offline, including the first evening and Sunday mornings. HHS also reduced funding for navigators in federal marketplace states. In North Carolina, 10% of CMS grant dollars overall was the reduction. But in Georgia, it was 61%, and in South Carolina, 66%. Programs that took large cuts, some have had to lay off staff or reduce their hours of operation or geographic service areas that they can serve. So, and even before the funding cuts, it was true that navigators sometimes couldn't meet all of the demand for appointments in those final days before the deadline. So, remind consumers, it's important to remind consumers that your navigator programs are still there. In addition, there are a number of certified application counselor programs that will provide in-person help, and of course, agents and brokers are there to help you sign up for coverage through the marketplace. Don't wait. Start as early as you can. Make sure you set up your healthcare.gov account, update your application, review your plan choices, find in-person help if you're going to need that, and then get enrolled in coverage for 2018. We do have many resources on our website related to open enrollment, more than 300 frequently asked questions, going over some of the material that I just mentioned. Our subsidy calculator for 2018 will be updated as soon as new premium data are available, and other resources as well. So those remain available for consumers. That's it for me. I'm going to turn it now over to Sarah Sessoms, the Executive Director of Insure Georgia. Take it away, Sarah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah Sessoms, and I'm the Executive Director of Insure Georgia. We are Georgia's statewide navigator entity. So a couple of things that we believe that Georgia consumers need to know. Given the confusion regarding this upcoming open enrollment period, there are several key messages that Georgia consumers need to know. First, both tax credit and cost-sharing reduction plans are still available. There seems to be rampant confusion about this. Second, when premiums rise, tax credits generally rise as well, so consumers should not be scared off by the reports of double-digit increases. Third, because this open enrollment period is far shorter than any other previous period, it is very important that consumers shop early to avoid the rush that will happen at the end. And finally, help is available. In fact, there are many different types of help that are available in Georgia. Next slide, please. So this is the type, this is the help that Insure Georgia offers. Instead of static offices across the state, our navigators host community enrollment hours at locations across the state. Despite our significant funding reduction, we are still able to hold roughly the same number of events as last year, given the reduced time frame, and we'll still be able to visit almost all of Georgia's counties for enrollment assistance. As an aside, this would not be possible without the generous support from several foundations in Georgia, the assistance of over 25 volunteers, and the Georgia Insurance Commissioner's Office for helping us fast-track those volunteer state licenses. We also will continue to utilize our virtual navigation center to assist consumers via telephone and an online screen sharing service. This center is operated from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It is staffed by state and federally licensed Georgians, and we can assist consumers with everything from simple questions to full enrollment. We also make available several self-service aids to allow savvy consumers to more easily complete the enrollment process with little or no help from our navigators. We provide a rather comprehensive enrollment workbook that identifies common issues and a coordinating application walkthrough video to guide consumers through the process. These consumers also have access to our virtual call center navigators at any time should they need additional help. Finally, we routinely refer consumers to other navigators, certified application counselors, and agents when it is most convenient for the consumer. Next, please. To assist Georgians, we have designed our website to be a one-stop shop for Georgia information. On the site, consumers can search for events by date and by county. They can also search a database of most assisters in the state to find the most convenient location for assistance. The website also houses our enrollment workbooks, enrollment videos, educational articles, and our Medicaid or our Georgia Medicaid Gap Toolkit, which provides consumers in each of Georgia's counties with information about free or low-cost medical, dental, and pharmaceutical providers. Consumers can access this site at www.insureGA.org, can speak to a live Georgia navigator via phone at 1-866-988-8246. Again, that is 866-988-8246. And can also speak with a navigator via email at help@insureGeorgia.org. That's basically Insure Georgia in a nutshell.
All right. Thank you, Sarah, so much. Now we're going to turn to Jennifer Simmons for a report from North Carolina.
All right. Well, I want to thank Karen and the team at Kaiser Family Foundation for this opportunity to share these critical messages. As you said, I'm Jennifer Simmons. I'm the director of the North Carolina Navigator Consortium. We are a statewide group of 12 healthcare, social services, and legal aid nonprofits who have been helping connect North Carolinians to coverage since 2013. We have navigators across the state from the Outer Banks to the Western Mountains. If you'll go on to the next slide, thanks. We've been talking to North Carolinians across the state to deliver several important messages, and with just 8 days until the start of the open enrollment period on November 1st, I hope you all will bear with me. I am going to echo some of the messages you all have heard already, but we think they're so critical to get in consumers, in the front of consumers' mind, that they bear repeating. So the first message we have been really hitting hard with people is to help everybody know that the marketplace is open. It will be opening for business, and it will be here to help folks on November 1st. It's so important that people understand the Affordable Care Act is still here to help for people that need coverage, that may not be able to get it or do not have it from their employers, from Medicaid or Medicare. And as we talk in rooms around the state, we are hearing from consumers that they are very confused about this. So we are very grateful for the chance to provide clarity about the fact that the Affordable Care Act is still the law and that the marketplace is here to help and will open its doors on November 1st. And I have to highlight a chance we'll have to provide some clarity this evening when three networks around the state have offered the opportunity to open their phone lines for their viewers to call in and speak to navigators and other assisters who are going to make themselves available to answer questions of all types as people may call in this evening. So a special thanks to WRAL in Raleigh, WECT in Wilmington, and WFMY in Greensboro, as well as the other CACs from the federally qualified health centers that are participating in that effort with us this evening. Next slide, please. Another message we're delivering to the people of North Carolina is about the shorter open enrollment period. Because people have to act in just a six-week window between November 1st and December 15th, we are encouraging people to take action early in the open enrollment period. Whether it's scheduling an appointment with an assister early, well in advance of that December 15th deadline, or whether it's just making a plan to go online and complete an application at healthcare.gov yourself, again, well in advance of that December 15th deadline, we're passing that word on to consumers in rooms around the state. We have actually already been doing pre-enrollment appointments for most of the month of October to help answer consumers' questions they may have and to help people get their accounts ready to log in and select a plan on November 1st. And those have been very well received. In an effort to help people complete their action early in the enrollment period, we have 30 walk-in friendly enrollment events during the first week of the open enrollment period. We're holding these walk-in friendly events at places like our biggest cities, Charlotte and Raleigh, as well as Fayetteville, Asheville, Greensboro, and then smaller communities to help folks in rural areas get access to in-person assistance as well. So we have walk-in friendly events in Plymouth, in Roxborough, in Fairmont, in Hayesville, and Silva. We are listing those events as we finalize them on ncnavigator.net, so please feel free to log in there and take a look at the score of events for that first week, and we'll be adding those through the open enrollment period so people can check back frequently to see. And those walk-in friendly events are in addition to our more routine pre-scheduled appointments that occur around the state of North Carolina. Next slide, please. The third message we're passing along to consumers is that people who already had coverage in 2017 should return to healthcare.gov to review the plans and prices for 2018. And this is so because plans and prices change every single year. Even though most people's coverage will be renewed without any action on their part, it's always a good idea to log in and make sure the plan you are in for 2018 will meet your family's medical needs and your budget. And that's particularly true for 2018 coverage. One very important message we're passing along is that even though consumers may be hearing the message that premiums have increased, that has been true historically, and most importantly, financial help for premiums does go up at the same time as premiums rise. Financial help is pegged to the actual cost of the coverage for the year. And so for 2018 coverage, as Karen explained very articulately earlier, we will expect premium tax credits to be larger than ever because the silver plans are expected to be more expensive as well. And it's very important because consumers can apply those premium tax credits to plans from any tier. So bronze plans, silver plans, or gold plans can all benefit from the access to those larger premium tax credits. Next slide. And along those lines, we want to make sure that consumers are aware financial help is still available. We are hearing a lot of confusion from consumers about whether subsidies have in fact ended. But people can still get help with both the monthly cost of premiums in the form of those advanced premium tax credits or APTCs and with the actual cost of health care for eligible consumers, such as reduced copays or lower deductibles. And, of course, those are called the CSRs, the cost-sharing reductions. It's very important for consumers to hear that the 9 out of 10 North Carolinians that enrolled in 2017 coverage with financial help very well may still be likely for that same coverage for 2018 if their family's financial situations haven't changed dramatically. And consumers are reassured when they hear that that financial help is still available to help them access the 2018 coverage they and their families need. Next slide. Finally, we are letting people know that we are here to help folks enroll in coverage from the mountains to the coast of North Carolina. People can reach us from anywhere in the state by calling our in-person enrollment appointment hotline at 1-855-733-3711 or navigating online to ncnavigator.net where they can enter their zip code and see enrollment opportunities in their communities. We hear that people appreciate the chance to sit down with someone face-to-face in their own community, a neighbor that understands their situation, and an expert that can answer any questions about coverage they might have. And some people like to have us by their side through the entire enrollment process. whereas others come in only after they've started an application and maybe run into a few questions here and there. We also find that other people call us well after they've actually already enrolled because they may have questions about their coverage throughout the year. Maybe they have a bill from a medical provider they don't understand. Maybe they've gotten a letter from the marketplace. Or maybe they need help getting their insurance coverage tax form in place. We'll be here throughout the year to help provide that type of assistance for people who may need access to help from the marketplace. So for whatever the people need, we are only a phone call away. Again, people can call us at 1-855-733-3711 or go online to ncnavigator.net for an in-person appointment. Thanks so much, Karen. Back to you.
Thank you, Jennifer, very much. Okay, and now last but not least, we're going to turn to Shelley Cuenga from the Palmetto Project in South Carolina for your remarks. Shelley.
Great. Thanks, Karen, for having us. We're excited to talk about what's happening in South Carolina, especially since this is the first year we've been able to see plans so early. So our enrollment effort has been called SignUp SC. So we're a coalition that has shrunk, unfortunately, this year due to the budget cuts, but we are still available, and our program name is SignUp South Carolina or SignUp SC. Next slide. So there are some things that are the same, as you've heard from your other presenters, but especially important to know that we still hear from people in South Carolina who say that our former governor, Nikki Haley, made sure that the Affordable Care Act didn't work in South Carolina or the ACA rules don't apply in South Carolina, and we're still hearing some of that even today. So we want to make sure we get the message out. The Affordable Care Act is still the law of the land, in spite of what governors may have done many years ago or what Congress tried to do over the summer, that the ACA still works for South Carolinians. The penalty, of course, still exists in spite of the rhetoric from the administration about the executive order in January. And we helped many people during tax time who found out, in fact, that the penalty does still exist and had to do that reconciliation work and make those payments when they filed their taxes. Blue Cross Blue Shield, as Karen said, is still the only marketplace issuer in the state of South Carolina, but we're fortunate in the way Blue Cross Blue Shield proposed their premiums for this year. We are one of the states where they put the majority of the increase in the silver plans that would be affected by their loss of the cost-sharing reimbursement from the federal government. And although our team of assisters is much reduced due to the funding cuts, we still have enrollment assisters, both navigators and certified application counselors, that are available around the state to help people with those in-person appointments. We know that people are more likely to enroll when they have in-person assistance, so that could be available through navigators, certified application counselors, and the terrific brokers and agents that we have in our state who are working in partnership to make sure that people have access to accurate information about options in the Affordable Care Act marketplace. Next slide. Our key messages are to make sure that people still know that there are discounts available to them and that the only way to get those is to shop. So even if you go into the marketplace and you're just using the Plan Explorer to shop around and you can window shop without ever entering any of your personally identified information. But the only way that you can get those savings is by going in and doing the application. We are one of the states where our Blue Cross Blue Shield has gone ahead and accepted the option to make sure that people pay any unpaid premiums that are due from 2017 before they can get 2018 coverage. So for folks who had plans in place for 2017, if they let their coverage lapse after July of this year, they were notified by Blue Cross Blue Shield that they were enacting this rule for coverage for South Carolinians. So if people had lapsed premiums after July, then they would have to pay back 1 month's premium in order to get coverage for 2018. Now, there is not any part of the enrollment process that tells the consumer that they owe this penalty. They would not know until they received a bill. So in part of our health insurance checkups, we are encouraging people to contact Blue Cross Blue Shield right now and verify that they are a consumer in good standing, or to find out right now if they have unpaid premiums that must be paid before their 2018 insurance can be effectuated. The other new process is about documents for special enrollment periods. So we do have some folks. I just had somebody yesterday calling me saying my son has turned 26 and needs coverage to start November 1st. And was told by someone that he wouldn't be able to get coverage until January. Of course, that's not true, and this consumer is eligible for enrollment immediately with coverage that would start November 1st through a special enrollment period. And so our assisters are around to help people with those special enrollment period process and application, and also to help them understand new documents that they may need to submit and upload to their account to get the fastest service and get their coverage started. Next slide. We are using the Get Covered connector as a widget that is embeddable into anyone's website to help people find an enrollment assister near them. So just by putting in your zip code, you can find where an enrollment assister is in your community. So, again, that could be a navigator or it could be a certified application counselor who is located at one of our 19 community health centers around our state, which cover all of our counties. So there are people around the state who are available to help using this connector. So people can go online, and the connector then will, once the person makes an appointment, it will send them a text message to confirm the appointment, give them the location, and then also to remind them of that appointment 24 hours in advance. We also have a phone scheduling center, so folks can also call us, and we can schedule appointments over the phone or do answers to any kinds of questions that folks may have, and our phone lines are answered only by certified insurance navigators right here in our office in North Charleston in the lower part of the state. And then last slide is just my contact information. So please, if you have questions, don't hesitate to use my mobile number. If you need to reach us for a story or have a question, it is up there for you to use, and you can also access me through my email or my office number. But we are making ourselves available more during the evenings than we might normally, just because there's so much going on in such a shortened period of time. So do call us if you have any questions and want to confirm where navigators are or how our program is running this year, given the severity of the budget cuts to our program. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you to Shelley and to Jennifer and to Sarah. I think we are going to turn now to the Q&A session. We have several, actually quite a few, already queued up in our chat. But if folks have questions, there's still time to send them in. Use the chat feature to type in your question, and we'll get to as many as we can. Also, just a reminder, again, this web briefing was recorded, and it will be posted online later today on KFF.org. So let me just dive into some of the questions. The first one from Ariel is, she says, I hear two things about the loss of federal CSR reimbursement and how that will be made up. One, that insurers will just have to pay for it themselves and therefore are raising premiums. Two, the plan customer gets a tax credit that makes up the difference. I'm sorry to ask you to go over this again, but can you please help me understand? Yes, indeed. So let me try one more time. Ashley, if you could jump to figure 15, maybe if we just sort of use a map. So this is what the cost-sharing reductions work. On average, if you buy a silver plan, it varies all over the place, but on average in this year, the deductible is around $3,600 for an individual. But depending on how low your income is, you could get that deductible reduced on average to $2,900 or even $800 or even $250, okay? When somebody in one of these CSR plans makes a claim. Let's say someone at 100% of poverty they go to the hospital. So that claim hits their deductible. They pay $255, but the real deductible under the Silver Plan was $3,600. The insurance company will basically send a bill to the federal government at the end of the month and say, please reimburse me for this cost-sharing reduction. Those are the reimbursements that the president said he was going to stop. So insurers would have to would have to make that up somehow, either lose the money, just, you know, book a loss, or since they kind of saw this coming, most of them raised their premiums. Now jump ahead to, if you could, figure 18, just to kind of connect our pictures here. So insurers expected that this would add on average about 20-some percent. To the cost of the Silver Plan. That's where you get these subsidies. So they raised the Silver Plan premiums more in most states than they raised premiums for Bronze or Gold or even for off-marketplace plans. As a result, all those plans are more expensive, but most people on the marketplace are eligible for subsidies, and the subsidy is tied to the cost of the Silver Plan. So the subsidy will end up covering this cost increase, all right? So the insurers are required to provide the subsidy. They won't get reimbursed for it. They're trying another way now to build it into their premiums, and the tax credit will cover that for people who are eligible for the tax credit. At the end of the day, this is all going to get paid by the federal government, and it's an even more expensive way for the federal government to pay for this than if they had just continued making the cost-sharing subsidies. So it is kind of a multi-step process. I don't know if that helps, but if not, email me and we can talk about it some more. All right, let me jump ahead. Zach asks, how much do we anticipate open enrollment will drop versus last year? And what might this mean for Medicaid enrollment? Might there also be a drop in that? I'll take a crack at this, and if our if my partners want to weigh in, you would be welcome as well. I don't know. Because of the shortened open enrollment, because of the reduced spending on outreach and marketing, there is an expectation that enrollment could drop off. We saw this actually at the end of January when the Trump administration took office and canceled previously scheduled and paid for television ads for the final 10 days of open enrollment. So in 2017, for the first time, we saw a dip in plan signups during the last week of open enrollment. Usually we see a surge. So I think based on that, there's an expectation that we could see a drop in enrollment. Because the premium tax credit dollars are going to rise so much, that could have an offsetting effect. And if people find out about this, they might find, in some cases, it's even more affordable to enroll in coverage. In terms of Medicaid enrollment, people can enroll for Medicaid throughout the year. It's not limited to open enrollment, but I think a lot of people find out when they come in to meet with a navigator or another assister or just when they fill out their marketplace application. They're not sure what they're eligible for. When they complete the application, that's when they learn that they may be able to sign up for Medicaid in the state. So if fewer people are coming in at open enrollment, it's possible that we could see a drop-off in sign-ups for Medicaid as well. It's all kind of on the same application. Guys, do you have anything to add on that one?
This is Jennifer, and I don't mind adding just that we've heard also some inklings as we've talked to consumers about confusion. I've even heard people say they just think this could be a big hassle this year. And so the message we're passing along as much as possible is to tell people not to assume anything about what the marketplace will or won't cover, won't be there, the financial help. We're asking people just to go ahead and navigate to healthcare.gov after the first. And people can window shop. They can browse the See Plans and Prices tool to actually see the plans that will really be there for 2018 coverage. It's quite easy for consumers to enter their personal information in and just their family size and income and ages so that they can see what a plan will actually cost them as well as what premium tax credits they might be eligible for. So I think assumptions are perhaps a little dangerous this year, and if people can just take the time to go to healthcare.gov and actually see what the real story is, they may find that it's not a big hassle and that the financial help they've come to expect is still there for them.
Thanks, Jennifer. I'm going to turn now, Virginia from, Georgia has actually several questions in the queue. Let me get to at least a couple of them. One is, if people make too much money for a subsidy, can they buy on the marketplace or do they buy separately off the marketplace? And the answer is they can do both. So plans that are available on the marketplace often are also offered off the marketplace. In at least South Carolina, it may be that the silver plan off the marketplace will be cheaper than the one on the marketplace. But people can buy either place. So the subsidies are not available off the marketplace. Another question from Virginia is whether in Georgia there has been a drop in the number of assisters as well as the number of navigators. Sarah, do you have any thoughts on that?
Sure. There has been a gradual drop-off in the number of FQHC CACs since their specific outreach and education funding was rolled into the main FQHC grant. And then, of course, they're also facing their own funding shortfall at the moment. So it remains to be seen how many of the sisters we thought we were going to have as late as last month will still be there during open enrollment.
Okay. And Sarah, while I've got you on the line, we've got some questions from Tom Corwin about Georgia. He writes, in Georgia, we saw a 30% drop in enrollment in 2017 in some counties in the Augusta area. Any idea what might be behind that or how to combat that for next year?
We actually had two large-scale enrollment events in the Augusta area and had great success and great turnouts for both of them. The only thing that I can think of is that the individuals who were specifically in Richmond County, we had a hard time actually getting those individuals enrolled because this was the first year that Blue Cross Blue Shield had their guided access plan, which required consumers to have a PCP referral to specialists. And I guess that the consumers didn't like that at that time, that it was just something new to them because they weren't used to it. So anecdotally, that is what happened at least our events in the Augusta area.
Okay, thanks. Okay, a couple other, we're going to stick with Georgia and then I'll jump over to North Carolina. I've got two questions here that I think are actually related, one from Tom and one from Andy, asking how best to explain the impact for most people if the cost-sharing reductions are not continued, and a related question, in Georgia, are the premium increases across the board for all exchange plans, so that if you don't qualify for CSRs and tax credits, you'll feel that whole premium increase no matter what plan you buy. Is that correct? And the answer is we don't know yet how insurers in Georgia price for this CSR loss of funding. We do know in South Carolina that's easier because there's just the one insurer that they applied the increase just to the Silver Marketplace plan. In some other states, I think that was the case. There are multiple insurers in Georgia, and we just don't have their rates public yet, so I don't know. It's possible that they all did what Blue Cross of South Carolina did. It's possible that some of them applied it across the board. It's possible that they took different approaches. So I think we won't know until those rates are public, but the advice to consumers is just don't make any assumptions. As soon as the plans and rates are posted, go online and see. But this movement in premiums as a result of the loss of cost-sharing payments to insurers is going to produce some effects that we've not seen before at open enrollment. So, again, it's just important for consumers to look and see what the facts are and then kind of go from there. Let me jump over. We've got a question. I'm sorry, did someone else want to add? Yeah.
This is Tara. If I could add just briefly, I think it is also important to note that in Georgia, while we have four insurers, the vast majority of the counties only have one available to them.
Okay.
So there's only, I think, 10 counties that have a choice between insurers. So that should help offset the rates with the tax credits.
Okay, that's a really important point. Thank you. Right. So thanks, Sarah. So when there's just one insurer, whatever the practice was, that'll be the only one. And as was true in the past, when premiums go up, tax credits go up. So people who are eligible for tax credits should be sheltered from most or all of the premium increase as long as they stay at the silver level benchmark plan or a less expensive plan. All right. A couple of questions from Mike in North Carolina. When will the plans and price tool be available for North Carolina residents? And will we have to wait until November 1 to actually look at the various plans and costs on healthcare.gov? Jennifer, do you want to take a crack at that?
Sure, it'll be my pleasure if you guys will bear with me as a fire truck drives past my window. We do not know the exact date, but Blue Cross Blue Shield has traditionally not made its prices public until November 1st, and in past years, the same has been true of Cigna as well. In past years, or I guess I can say with certainty last year, we were able to go online to the CPLANS and Prices tool to window shop beginning about a week, 10 days before the open enrollment period began. I heard through the grapevine, but from a reliable source, I think the issuers had spoken to CMS. They said that those the CPLANS and Prices tool is not going to be updated and available to the public much before the open enrollment period, if at all. So I think what I can say with certainty is on November 1st, people will be able to see the plans and prices that are available in their area. But I wouldn't feel confident about whether you're seeing 2018 plans and prices before that date.
Thanks, Jennifer. Question from Bristow in South Carolina. I think this is just a general question. Do you know how many plans will auto-renew if no action is taken? The general rule is that if people are currently enrolled in a plan and they don't act to renew it themselves or to change it themselves before midnight on December 15th, they will be automatically renewed in that plan. There are some exceptions if people filed an income tax return for 2016 that showed that their income had grown substantially, more than five times the poverty level, they won't be auto-renewed. People will get a notice. It should be in their healthcare.gov account by November 1st. Indicating if they won't be automatically renewed or if they're not eligible to be automatically renewed. They should get a notice to that effect by November 1st. So the number that actually will then depend on how many people actually wait and don't act by December 15th. Shelley, any experience with that from 2017, do you know?
Well, I think, you know, a couple of important things about the auto-renewal. One is that the tax credits are not automatically recalculated every year. So the only way that a person can get a different tax credit amount is by actively renewing, going into your account and doing that calculation, putting in your income, verifying that it is, in fact, your income for 2018, and then recalculating that tax credit. The other part is that if the person declined to have the marketplace pull information from the IRS to verify income, then that person can be automatically renewed with no tax credit. And there will not be an opportunity in January to go back and revisit that. So the person could get billed the full premium amount and have no recourse other than to go in and pay that full premium or to stop coverage and then leave themselves without that security and peace of mind of having health insurance.
Okay, thanks. We have a question from Gary. If consumers discover they are not in good standing with an insurer, so they have premium debt after 12/15, after the end of open enrollment, are there options to switch carriers? Well, there really aren't options to switch carriers after open enrollment closes unless people are eligible for a special enrollment period. And I mentioned in passing in Georgia, where we have some insurers who are leaving the marketplace, people who had coverage through those insurers will also be eligible for a special enrollment period due to loss of prior coverage. So otherwise, people should find out if they are trying to actively sign up for coverage, and if they do encounter this rule, they should find out about it at the time that they try to sign up. If there is another insurer offering through the marketplace, people have the option of going through that, just buying from somebody else, or, you know, repaying the debt that their current insurer says that they owe. And then if there's any dispute about whether they actually were behind on their premium, the Department of Health and Human Services has not yet established an appeals process for this new rule. So if that comes up, I think it would be important working with your navigator or broker or whoever is helping you to contact the marketplace, contact your insurer first, see if you can straighten it out, but also contact the marketplace and contact your state insurance department to see if you can get help from either of them in setting straight, you know, sort of what your situation is. Okay. Anything to add on that one?
Yes, this is Shelley. I would add, because we know our Blue Cross Blue Shield provider is, in fact, enacting that rule, there is no notification during the enrollment process that you would owe this premium, this past premium. So you would only find out when you received your bill, and those payments must be made by December 31st. So it could be a pretty big bill for the consumer to receive and have to pay. So that's why we are encouraging folks to contact Blue Cross Blue Shield right now to find out if they owe any premiums from July to current and get those paid now so that they would only have the responsibility of paying that first month's premium for January in order to get their coverage effectuated for 2018.
Okay. Should we try to take one more? It's 1 o'clock. Just one last question. This also from Ariel in Georgia. When is this special enrollment period for Georgians whose insurers has left the marketplace? Their qualifying event, their loss of eligibility for other coverage, is January 1st. So they actually have 60 more days under their special enrollment period to sign up for new coverage. If they do that, though, if they wait and use the special enrollment period, they just need to know they will experience a gap in coverage. So it is still advisable, if you know, if you're with Humana, for example, and you know they're not coming back in 2018, it is advisable to, during open enrollment, make your plan selection for 2018, get that all done so that your new coverage can begin right away on January 1st. If you do elect a special enrollment period, that's also an option, but you will probably have a gap in coverage at least for the month of January. So anything to add on that one, Sarah?
No, I think you've covered it.
Okay. All right. It's a little after. I guess one last one. Andrew asks, how will states deal with the potential issue of cost-sharing reduction payments to insurers if they continue into 2018 but insurers have already baked in higher premium rates? Would there be rebates or rate reductions? So I think, Andrew, that question is what happens if, for example, the CSR payments do get turned back on. Maybe the Congress does pass this bipartisan legislation, or there's also a lawsuit on this. The answer is I don't know. But in the bipartisan legislation that is being discussed on the Hill, there is outlined a whole kind of system of rebates so that insurers wouldn't end up getting paid twice. So if the payments do get turned on, I imagine there would be some way for insurers to rebate either the increased premium to people who paid that, or to the federal government if the tax credit covered it. So there probably would need to be some sort of system to account for that double payment. So, All right. I think we're going to have to stop there. It's a little bit after 1 o'clock. I do want to remind the audience that our web briefing was recorded. It will be posted online by the end of today or tomorrow morning at kff.org. If we didn't get to someone's question, please contact Katie Smith, our communications associate. Her email is shown on screen, and we will try to follow up with you offline. And just a reminder, additional resources are available at kff.org, and you can keep up with KFF online via email or social media. Thank you to everyone for joining this web briefing today. We appreciate it and hope everyone has a wonderful open enrollment.